Surprised when I looked out on this group this evening, and I saw quite a few people who haven't sat with us a lot in long retreats, sort of getting their feet wet at this rather intense retreat, where our intensity recalls the intensity with which Shakyamuni Buddha, our founder, set off on his spiritual quest. And I guess an intense little retreat of this kind is as good a place as any to get a taste for this practice. It's sort of jumping into the deep end, but one way or another you have to jump. I would just say that if you are experiencing difficulty as the evening wears on, if the periods are seeming very long and you're unable to maintain a zazen position, it is much preferable to take a chair than it is to basically sit in the zendo with your knees drawn up to your chest for long periods of time. Sitting in a chair is a perfectly good way to sit. Everyone who's been sitting in a chair so far is an experienced sitter as far as I can see. So, and since I have a knee injury, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if I ended up in one before the evening is over. My knee starts really bugging me. You can bet I'll grab a chair without thinking twice. So please, give that some consideration. It's much better to sit still in a chair than to be squirming and making yourself uncomfortable. So the gist of this story of the Buddha's enlightenment, it's really a very simple and short koan. Shakyamuni Buddha saw the morning star and was enlightened. And he said, "I am the great earth and beings simultaneously attain the way." That's it. very simple. That short koan starts off a collection titled Transmission of the Lamp, which is a collection of koans of Zen stories that students take up quite late in their practice. The reason it's called Transmission of the Lamp is because it purports to be a record of the transmission of the Buddha Dharma, starting with Shakyamuni Buddha in this story, and going down to his successor and his successor's successor, on and on, until you get to about 14th century Japan, where the record stops. And in Zen, we place a lot of stock in what's known as the Dharma transmission, the transmission of understanding, mind to mind, from student to disciple. But that's transmission in something of a narrow sense. Transmission that, while vastly important to us in the Zen tradition, does not get quite at the heart of the truth, which is that transmission of the truth of the Buddha Dharma is taking place right now, at this instant, at every instant of our lives. So while historically this was a particularly remarkable transmission, especially considering all the complications that ensued, each one of us is a Buddha. Each one of us is receiving this transmission of the truth, whether we realize it or not. And at each moment, we have the opportunity to wake up like the Buddha did, or to look for something sexier, something whiter and brighter. Because truth to tell, this marvelous transmission isn't always what we want it to be. Sometimes a transmission is coming to us in the form of pain in our legs, sometimes in the form of fatigue, sometimes in the form of boredom, sometimes in the form of bliss and peace and all that good, happy stuff. But what's really hard for us human beings to grasp is, no matter what our opinion of the moment is, the transmission is no less complete in a moment of delusion than it is in a moment of enlightenment. The difference is simply in the degree of realization. So, Shakyamuni realized himself when he looked up and he saw the morning star. What was it he realized? What was transmitted? We say that when we realize ourselves in practice, what arises are the qualities of wisdom and compassion, prajna and karuna. Prajna is sort of symbolized by this fellow up on the altar, Manjushri, wisdom, the ability to cut through the bullshit. He's got a sword in his hand for the purpose. To clear away all the mental garbage which keeps us from realizing this direct transmission that is always coming to us. So the wisdom part takes place in realization, the falling away of delusions, even the falling away of enlightenment, letting it all fall away. The compassion is in this marvelous transmission itself. Because after it all falls away and we come back to life, we realize that this whole universe is nothing but giving without measure, moment after moment after moment, nothing lacking, nothing held back. Wisdom and compassion. And so that's why it's quite natural when our wisdom eye is opened, when we realize the transmission that's coming to us moment to moment, it's quite natural for us to want to bring ourselves into accord with the reality we've just seen. To not hold back, to not separate ourselves. To give not with the idea of being a good person or some kind of a plaster saint, but to give just because that's the way of the world. It doesn't require a great deal of effort to give. What really requires effort is all the energy we expend trying to protect ourselves, to hold back. Our stinginess, our hang-ups, our tired old notions about our limitations of who we are. Shakyamuni got good and tired of the self-centered life he was leading. As you might recall, he was a prince. He was the man who had everything. Born to a loving father and mother. Had wonderful companions, There was a prediction at his birth that he was either going to grow up and become a great king or a great spiritual leader. And so his father, being a king, kind of wanted him to be a king. And so he decided his son was going to lack for absolutely nothing in the way of kingly training, both in terms of luxury and in terms of discipline, physical training, education, not just material things, wise teachers, best teachers of his day, good friends. And his father made sure that nothing unpleasant crossed the path of his very talented son. So the prince was surrounded by the beautiful people, young people, intelligent people, good conversationalists, lots of music, lots of dancing, lots of laughter, lots of wisdom in the teachings of the day, military training, seemingly not an empty life, but something very odd happened. The young man became very bored, very, very bored, lackluster, felt dead inside, or so I suppose. I see it often enough in some of my patients. I've seen it in myself at various times in my life. Where life loses all its savor, it's kind of flavorless. And so the only thing young Prince Gotama wanted was the one thing he was forbidden, which was to go outside the wall of the palace grounds. And you can imagine these grounds went on quite extensively. I don't know, I sort of see them with peacocks and animals roaming around, lots of interesting things to look at, beautiful architecture. But eventually, you got to this wall where he wasn't allowed to go any further. And finally, it got too much for him, and he bribed his father's chariot driver to take him outside the walls one day. And they're riding along and riding along, and soon enough the prince sees a man walking, no hair on his head, all bent over with a cane, hardly able to drag himself along. And the prince goes, "Oh my God, what is that?" And the chariot driver says, "Well, that's an old man. Your father wanted to spare you the sight of old age, but actually, this could very well be your fate if enough years go by, and will be the fate of all those beautiful young lords and ladies who are your friends." And they go a little further, and they see, and this is, you know, ancient India, you can imagine what some of the sights are. They see someone covered head to toe with sores, running sores. And the prince is horrified. He says, "What is that?" The chariot driver says, "Well, that's a sick person. And all of us will get sick one day. Health is something that's here one day and gone the next. And finally, they see a funeral procession, and the prince sees a corpse being brought down for final cremation. Once again, he asks, well, what is this? And the chariot driver says, well, that person is dead. This is the end of all human life, including yours, young prince. So the prince reflected on what he had seen, and he thought to himself, well, what meaning can any of the pleasures on the palace grounds have if it's unstable, if it all leads to sickness, old age, and death? It just seems like a mockery. It just seems like we're killing time. There's no point to it. There's no point to anything. And he resolved there and then to get to the bottom of this, to find a way out of this killing chamber that he quite unexpectedly found himself in. And so the legend goes on, and we're told that he followed the spiritual practices of his day, which was mostly asceticism, the notion being that there's a beautiful spirit trapped inside the gross flesh, and if you mortify the flesh enough, the beautiful spirit shines through. And he excelled at all these practices, we're told, but ultimately they didn't satisfy him, and ultimately he abandoned all his teachers and he abandoned his friends on the quest. And he decided to sit underneath a tree by the river. And he declared he would not rise from that spot until these questions were answered once and for all. I think we can all identify to one degree or another with this legend. All of us have an itch that we haven't been able to scratch. All of us have questions about whether this experiment called human life is really meaningful, or whether it's just ashes in the mouth. And the promise of the story of the Buddha is that we can answer these questions in the same way the Buddha did, which is not through listening to someone in a robe talk about it, not through reading the various theories and books but through going very deeply, unrelentingly, painstakingly into ourselves, into our own lives, into the depths of our own experience, peeling the layers of the onion, opening further and further until one day we realize this marvelous transmission. The stories are full of different realizations. The Buddha saw a star. Lin Chi got punched in the guts. Sometimes it happens because a master holds up a finger or holds up his fly swatter. Sometimes it happens because someone notices peach blossoms that are blooming and blowing in the breeze. We can see it in our aching legs. We can see it in our breaking hearts. We can see it in the cold of winter or the warmth of summer. It's never lacking, even for a moment. And as we slowly begin to be willing to put aside our opinions and preconceived notions of what life is supposed to be, and open ourselves to our lives, painful as that may be at times, then we are ready to receive that transmission. Master Dogen says, we have the opportunity to see the eye and treasury of the true law in our everyday life. Yet most of the time, we lose the chance to smile and show our understanding. A plum blossom is the observation that above the heavens and throughout the earth, I am the only honored one. Each thing is the most honored thing in the world. We're told that at the Buddha's birth, he suddenly rose to his feet and pointed to the sky and touched the ground and said, above the heavens and throughout the earth, I am the only honored one. Each of us has the chance to realize that I. That I is not Ryotan, even though Ryotan is not separate from it. It's not the name on your birth certificate or your driver's license, although that conventional identity is not separate from it, even for a moment. But imagine how much our lives would change if we could see that each thing is the most honored thing in the world. each thing is the most honored thing in the world. Not just the things we like, not just the things we think are holy, but each thing. So the promise of our practice as Zen practitioners is that each of us has the chance to realize this ongoing transmission, to receive it fully, to receive our birthright as human beings, to receive our inheritance. And that if we sit devotedly and practice intensely, that realization is guaranteed. So Master Keizan says, practice fully and sufficiently. Fully and sufficiently. Develop full mastery. Clarify both Gotama's enlightenment and your own as well. Let the answer flow from your heart without borrowing the words of former Buddhas or contemporaries. Let the answer flow from your own heart. Get in touch with the intention that brought you here today as the attention of Shakyamuni Buddha. See the star that is glittering in each moment. The gift is always being offered. We only need to open ourselves fully to receive it. Sentient beings are numberless. Inexhaustible.